if he does well in pre-season, I would imagine he'll be the most owned player in the game.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Patrons, it's Monday, so it's Q&A day, and there's no football or that kind of thing to ask us questions
Jesus
about.
Jesus Christ, first fucking patron pod back and he sounds depressed. Why don't you tell the patrons how much you've missed them? Because I've already done it.
What, told them how much you miss them?
Yeah.
Didn't miss the bastards one bit.
I did.
Did you?
Missed that income.
You switched the billing off.
It's true, I did.
It's the 5th of July. I don't know. We need to make sure that it picked up July.
Yeah, no, it's on, yeah. Oh, there's been loads of people left. Jokes.
Actually, to be honest, loads didn't. And I'm quite impressed by that.
Why was anyone going to leave?
People do at the end of the season. It's pretty common for people to leave. I mean, we've only got one end of season to...
A few fucking idiots did, but they ain't listening, so they weren't. No,
exactly. So, bye. We should name and shame.
Fuck off.
Right. We're going to get through all the questions. We're going back to the 1st of June, which is the start of the month, and then we'll carry on from there. There are a few questions that are now largely irrelevant, so we can skip those.
Oh, so you're going back to the start of June, yeah? There could be some funnier.
Nah, there's not. I've read them all. Okay. We're starting with Dave Beaton. He says, is the Jubilee a big thing down your ways? I've seen 3 or 4 houses with flags in Scotland, and I've driven 200 or 300 miles the last couple of days. Loads of supermarkets had it advertised, though. It was quite big down here. I saw loads of street parties, flags. It was a big deal down here. Beacons. Everyone was lighting beacons everywhere.
Put it this way, it's not why I started taking time off. I didn't think I'm going to take time off in time for the Jubilee. I mean, it's probably Andy a little bit, but I mean, did you watch any of it?
No.
All I saw was the bit with Lee Mack insulting Boris. That was literally all I saw over 4 days.
I didn't get involved. I didn't see anything or watch anything on TV. It was nice to see bits and pieces out everywhere. I went to Cotswolds that weekend, and so loads of like fairs and all that kind of stuff.
You'd have had all that, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. Nice, but it was probably a much bigger deal in England than it would have been in Scotland, David. I don't doubt that. Therapy Stan, he says that the guy with no elbows was arrested for resisting the police because he failed to put his hands behind his head when instructed. How does the man with no knees do his taxes? This question, Stan, what's the relevance of a man with no knees and doing your taxes got to do with anything?
Well, the man with no knees isn't going to have a problem doing his taxes. He can do it with ink, he can do it on a computer, whatever,
so why
right?
So what's the relevance of the question then?
He's proven the importance, in my opinion, of the fact that you will need your arms, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
Which I'm in disagreement with.
Billy Hathaway says, why does Son not take Spurs' free kicks? He scored 2 in recent internationals, and I can't remember the last time we scored from a direct free kick, but you will, James. When's the last time you scored from a direct free kick?
Oh,
in a competitive game?
Dyer's deflected one against Leeds, which hit the post, and Reguilón scored the rebound.
But that's not scoring from the free kick.
It's not, no.
Sticking one in, top corner.
Jeez. A long, long time ago. My guess would be that Sonny will be on them.
I don't know who he played against to stick him in the
Have you seen him?
No.
Literally one game, he's edge of the box, and he just whips it to keep his left-hand side top bin. And then the next game, a few days later, he did the same thing, but the opposite top corner.
Okay.
So,
what are the qualities? Yeah, I mean, keepers? Should be on. I mean, either way, were they good enough that any keeper was not stopping them? Or
I think the first one, even though it was keeper's side, would have been tough. Taller keepers may have got the other one.
Okay.
But he did decent free kicks, right?
Yeah, I mean, just being on target and putting it close to post or bar is what you want to do. And like you said, you don't score from them.
The thing is, and this is the joke of it, like, and there's even a video yesterday that Tottenham posted a little clip of, because they're releasing this new, I'll probably talk about it a bit on Wednesday maybe, this new platform called Spurs Play. To Spurs fans, yada yada yada, and they showed.
Is that where you can buy NFTs of Spurs? No,
I don't think you can. Actually, no, I believe we're one of the few clubs that have not really got that kind of thing going on at the moment. Unlike anyway, maybe another one for Tottenham. They showed this clip of they're premiering it with 202 days, they're calling it, which is Conte's first 202 days in charge, which I'm guessing is the period from his appointment to the Norwich end game. The I'm guessing. And they showed a clip of him talking about Sané. And they showed, again, him taking a fucking free kick in training, top bin. Is that once every month they post a video of Sonny putting a free kick top bin in training, and yet he never takes them. So the answer is, I don't know. But I'll add that I think he'll be on them this season.
David Beaton, is Kieran Tierney underrated? Not by him, but he's got injured and Arsenal and Scotland went to shit. He's injured all the time, though.
He's prone, isn't he?
That's the thing. Like, you say underrated. Like, when he plays, I think we all love him. I think he's a great player.
Can't stand him. He plays for them.
But he is injury prone. I don't think any player that's injury prone can be rated.
No, that's not true, is it?
I mean, it's difficult to... It's not like he's in the later stages of his career.
Would you still rate Bale?
It's not like he's in the later stages of his career, let me finish, and has got trophies and stuff to back it up. Like, Kieran Tierney hasn't achieved anything. He's a quality player, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't achieved anything despite his injuries. Ledley King, for example, despite his injuries, I would say that he could be... you can consider him rated. Right? He's a good player.
We're definitely going to fall out, depending on what you say next.
But he didn't win anything, but he's rated. Kieran Tierney has...
Hold on. I believe the last Tottenham captain to lift the trophy was Ledley King.
There you go. League Cup. But Kieran Tierney hasn't done what Ledley King had done in his career.
Someone's going to say he's won titles with Celtic.
That's a fair point.
So...
Was that when they were winning five in a row and Rangers were in...
I don't think
like
you could say a player's
league.
Not rated because he's injury prone. You would say he's fucking good, but he's injury prone is what you would say. Darren Anderton, right?
So then the answer to David's question is, because neither of us are saying we think he's a bad player. I think he's a very, very good player, but he's injury prone. So is he underrated?
Kieran Tierney is one of the best left backs in the league.
Agreed.
There you go.
And injury prone. Finton, last summer I asked James which Tottenham players he would give a 5-year contract to other than Son and Kane, and he said none of them.
Oh.
Every single one of them can fuck off, mate, is what you said.
Probably, yeah.
Have you changed your mind on the likes of Kulu, Dier, Romero, Bentancur, Sessegnon, Skip?
Romero and... I've decided I want to start calling him Kulusexy, actually. Okay. I heard Expressions calling him Kulusexy, and I thought, that's fun. I'm on
watching
that.
Expressions. Who's in
Kulusexy? Romero and Kulusexy can have 5-year contracts, yeah. Bentancur, I wouldn't give that long. 3-4 extension. 5... Yeah, I'd add Romero and Kulusevski. You know, I think you're trying to improve all the time, right?
Yeah. You need to level up. Like, am
I going to win a Premier League title with Bentancur in my team? It's not impossible, but probably not.
Dylan says, following on from Finson's question, do you think Scarlett and Parrott have a future at Spurs?
I watched both England under-19 games last week, the semi-final and the final. Didn't watch any of the group stage games. It reminded me why I knew that Dane was off it when he played in Europa League for us last year. I mean, he's just not ready. Simple as. His physical attributes for his age and his size are not bad. He is exceptional understanding of off-the-ball forward movement. On the ball... not ready. Troy had a really good kind of end to the season at Milton Keynes. He did an interview, I think, with Charlie Eccleshire in The Athletic towards the end of the season. And Charlie spoke on the View to the Lane podcast afterwards saying, like, there's been a lot of rumours about off the field. He's hanging around with the wrong people. He looks like he's switched on. He's ready to go and he really wants to prove a point at Tottenham. So I think for Troy, it's definitely another loan this year, championship level. And then you may look at, possibly... this time next year, looking at him possibly being one of 6 forward, maybe, but maybe 5th, 6th choice. Same applies to Dane Scarlett. Dane needs to play men's football. But he doesn't, I don't want Dane to play men's football that's going to discourage him. Like, I think he would still find the championship quite tough at the moment. Because I think he could go into League One now, which maybe Tottenham don't want him to do because he is of a high level. But I'd rather he went there and got the feeling of scoring goals every week. Because honestly, in front of goal, when he's got it, finish is good. Off the ball movement, he's so good. But he's got a lot to improve with the ball at his feet in general play.
Stian says Pogba was offered $290,000 a week to stay at United, but then said that they offered nothing to prove they want him to stay. Is he the biggest twat ever to grace the Premier League?
He's right up there.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. He's right up there. But it's just,
is that what he was offered?
So he was offered, I think it was a very small rise. Very small rise. But if you consider, if we talk about it in football terms for a moment, if you consider that obviously he was out of contract and he got offered a very small rise, it's kind of a, I don't really want you to stay, kind of token gesture. But it's not, is it? Offering someone $290,000 a week is clearly not a token gesture. And when you do a pogmentary, as he called it, and speaks about it on there like that in those terms, and the everyday viewer is won't earn in like 10 years what he could earn in 1 week. Oh, fuck off, mate. It's the reality, isn't it?
I'm so out of the loop. What's a pogmentary?
Nico, help me out here, mate.
By Pogba.
So basically, for the benefit of the audio listeners who couldn't hear Nico, it's a self-indulgent piece of shit. Actually, to the extent, Suj, the Pogmentary self-entitlement documentary, which I don't believe anyone's watched, apparently it's got the lowest, is it IMDb?
Okay.
It's got the lowest rating on there of any programme ever currently.
Oh, fair play. I think there'll be a lot of fans downvoting.
Obviously.
Auto close, Darren. Do you think we're going to see tweets like this season? Raging. My predicted prices team would have scored way more than my current team.
Of course.
Did people put out predicted prices teams?
Of course.
Oh, I never saw them.
Oh, listen, keep yourself off Twitter till the game's launched, mate.
Keep myself off Twitter, full stop. That sentence could have ended halfway. Stian, do we have to chaperone James on holiday next year? You were not doing it right. I thought you didn't tweet that much when you were on holiday. I don't think you tweeted that much.
No, I thought I was quite well behaved.
Yeah.
I thought my tweets generally were not of an FPL nature.
Informative.
They were, all right, I've got an opinion on something. I'm gonna share it. Then obviously instantly regret it because you forget that it's the hellhole that it is. But yeah, no, I wasn't working as such, was I?
Tim Kresner, if your team are doing well in the Premier League, and by that he means club team, not FPL team, do you want the national teams of your players to just get knocked out of the World Cup? So
No.
Unless it's England.
All right. Yeah, let's rephrase that.
Jamaica at the World Cup.
It's interesting, though. Like, there's certain ones. Like, say his son got to the semi-final or something and England were out. I'd want him to do... I'd get behind his team, to be honest, for example. The England players, it would never cross my mind to think, like, say we lost in the quarterfinal.
At least they're coming home.
Or at least they're coming home for Spurs. Someone will say it, but it honestly wouldn't cross my mind till the next day or so. So, no. There might be a few where, like, say, like a Perisic or something, you could probably think, all right, he could do without this or something. But generally speaking, nah, they're entitled to represent their countries and go for it. I think in our case, probably as well, because we've what we're doing with the squad, like, you know, if Perisic is, say, Croatia do really well, Perisic misses Boxing Day, okay, Sessegnon plays away to Brentford. All right, let's go.
You're playing Brentford on Boxing Day.
Yes, we are.
You fucking hell, loser. And you know all your fixtures.
Away, by the way.
Billy Hathaway, would you rather go to prison?
Can I just point out that we're doing a fixtures podcast tomorrow? I probably know most of the Boxing Day fixtures.
Billy Hathaway, would you rather go to prison or war? I'll take prison.
Oh my God.
Much lower chance of death.
That's such a bottle job answer, isn't it?
Listen,
I'm going to completely agree with you.
Do you know what? I didn't think about it from a moral point of view. Like, if someone's trying to invade our country, would I want to fight to keep them out? So,
It might blow up. It might blow up the prison.
Yeah, a war for. If it was defending my own country, I think I'd probably rather go to war than prison because there's a moral point of view on it. I just thought of it without thinking about why we're going to war and also why am I going to prison. So, I mean, my instinct would be self-preservation, so prison. But clearly, if we're going to war to keep out occupiers, foreign invaders, then maybe war. Auto reclose, Darren. If the game was set up so that you could have unlimited rolling transfers, how would you approach playing?
Oh, so like if you did make a transfer for 6 weeks, you'd have seven.
Yeah.
I think it would probably suit my style.
You can build them up. But the thing with, like I was saying earlier, I don't know if this how this will play out, but I think cheaper prices for most players means you can get to almost any player easier than you would if they were more expensive. And I think we'll see a lot more chasing of certain players' points this season. So-and-so is popping off and they're only 5 points. Perisic starts doing well, he's 5.5. People will jump from Chelsea to Perisic, for
Perisic
example.
Perisic, if he does well in pre-season, I would imagine he'll be the most owned player in the game. Game of one.
I still think Trent at 7.5.
You want to bet?
Yeah.
I'll go with that. If even Perisic does, on the condition he does really well in pre-season.
Yeah, that's an arbitrary statement.
No, it's not. Because if Matt Doherty does really well in pre-season, he's not going to be the most owned player.
But what's doing well in pre-season?
I'd say if Perisic plays the majority of games, gets an attack in return, is completely fit, he looks absolutely locked on that he'll start game week one, then I think there's every chance his ownership, game week one, will be in excess of 50%.
Yeah, I think there's other players that will be similar. I think Haaland.
Luke Shaw,
11 and
Luke
a half,
Shaw same
5
price
million.
Last
no,
year.
Lucas James Shaw last year, he was 5 million last year, wasn't he?
Luke Shaw, 5.5.
No, he's 5 this year, isn't he?
No, I'm saying, but Perisic's
oh,
5.5
Perisic
now.
The same as Shaw was last year. Yeah. And everyone piled into Luke Shaw last year. Right. Jordan FPL Bucket Man. Is there anything more upsetting than you wait for ages at the bakery for your breakfast buddy and they put ketchup on instead of brown sauce? Well, that's if he's a brown sauce guy. I saw Fergie tweet a picture of a bacon sandwich where he'd put ketchup on one side of the bread and brown sauce on the other.
Fergie?
Yeah, I'm sure it was Fergie that tweeted it.
As in Princess or Sir Alex?
There's only one Prince Fergie from Wales. Former Sun Fantasy Football Dream Team winner, Fergie.
Oh, Andrew Ferguson.
Yes.
He did what? He put brown sauce on one side, ketchup on the other.
And bacon in the middle. I'm sure he tweeted that.
I'm glad he put something in the middle.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. I've never tried it, so maybe I shouldn't say it.
I don't know. Was he FFH Fergie or whatever? Find that picture he tweeted. He said, haters going to hate.
Just
I don't
reminded
care.
Me of a story. I can't remember where we were. We was abroad. This is going back quite a few years. I can't remember where we were. But anyway, you go for breakfast. And you know it's like abroad. I don't know if anyone else had this opinion. You go for breakfast in the morning abroad as an English person. Sorry to the overseas listeners. You think, I'm not going to have to fry up today. And you get there, and what do, Sig?
Full English.
Exactly. You still have to fry up. You're like, this place today, I'm not going to have to fry up. You look at the menu and you go, fuck it, I still want the fry up. Happens. We was in this one breakfast place one morning, and this guy came out, Jack the Lad, Spanish, I think. Yeah, we must have been in Spain. And he said, he banged the brown sauce on the table. You English love this brown sauce. I said, no, mate, I'm south of Birmingham, mate. It's nothing to do with me, mate. He looked at me very quizzically. I said, I'll have the ketchup, please, mate. So the answer to the question is, nah, sod that.
Dylan F, I ask this through gritted teeth as a Man United fan. Is Di Maria underrated? He was really good at Madrid, puts in great performances for PSG in the Champions League. Underrated seems to be theme of the day.
Yeah, I think Angel Di Maria has been one of the best attacking players of the last 15 years or so. Would you put him in elite world class levels? I don't know if he'd have ever been at a point where you'd go, oh yeah, he's on the fringes of a world 11. Maybe at certain points. I mean, not underappreciated in my mind. I'd say he's been one of the best attacking players of this era.
Gary Mantle, where would you like to grow Planet FPL this season? More downloads and patrons are a given, but are you particularly looking at looking to reach further elsewhere, YouTube, Insta, wherever the kids are into these days?
Metaverse, isn't it?
Metaverse, virtual reality. Is that it? I was thinking about this, not just because of Gary's question. I was like, over the last couple of days, as the price of reels have dropped and stuff, this season, obviously, I mean, every season is more saturated than the last, but this season is going to be the most saturated with FPL content ever.
Well, next year will be even more.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we're now getting to a point of real saturation. The first season, there was like 4 pods or 5 pods that people used to listen to. Now you've got your choice of 20, 25. A lot are very good. I also think if you listen to 3 or 4, you'll get the same advice or same thought process again and again and again. So the answer is I'm not sure, Gary, but I'm really interested to see how the saturation of the same content, what that does to downloads in the market, and where's the opportunity to be different? And we'll see.
Are we not already?
What, different?
Yeah.
How different? But everybody's different. Everybody's got their own style, right? Some people are more stats-based. Some people are really methodical and planning. Some people more comedy and kamikaze. Everybody's got their own place, but they all sit within a broad parameter. I think that a lot of the decisions and opinions around certain teams and players are all very similar. So it depends why people are listening. Are they listening to get some thoughts around FPL and plant some seeds for what they want to do, or are they just engaging with the hosts or whatever? I don't know. I just do think, like, I feel this year, wow, there is a lot of content. And obviously, with the amount of time you want to invest in FPL, I don't listen to a lot of other shows. I listen sporadically. So I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm interested in what the saturation does to the market. How many pods do you think an average FPL player, community member, one of the Geek Squad, listens to?
On average?
3-4 different types? 3-4 different shows? 4-5 different shows?
I think probably about, on average, are we including the nuns here? Are we saying everybody who does listen to an FPL podcast?
Yeah.
So everyone who listens to a podcast, I'd say 3-4.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. It's quite a lot.
But if you ask a Planet FPL patron, they'll tell you 10.
What pods do they listen to?
Yeah.
Our pod, 10 of our shows. Well, I mean, 10 different pods, different brands, let's say. Anyway, yeah, let's see. Tim Locke, some questions around viewing games. Should there be 4 weekends a season where all games are played at 3 p.m.? I like all games being played at 3 p.m. I like the last day of the season. I think that's fun.
I also think that should be the case now for the penultimate games as well.
Like the last 3 or 4 games?
No, just the last 2. Okay. I think, and to be honest, it's not proven that it's worked to anyone's advantage. I mean, it didn't work to Arsenal's advantage to know that a win at Newcastle essentially was going to get them fourth. It didn't, do you know what I mean? It wasn't like they went before Tottenham played Burnley and then they'd lost. And they could have lost and then Tottenham could have still fucked up. Do you know what I mean? It didn't work to their advantage to know they had to win, for example. So it's not necessarily always the case you get an advantage. But I do think particularly helpful for those at the bottom of the table who obviously win less anyway, to think that they could target a draw, for example. I think all penultimate games should kick off at the same time. In terms of the theory, like, it wouldn't bother me if every game kicked off at the same time all season long.
Should all games be televised?
Well, if we're spreading them, then yes.
They are, Tim. Just got to know how.
Yes, it should be.
They are, Tim. You just got to know how. Jarvo says, what are you enjoying? What did you enjoy the most during your time off from podding? Anything in particular?
What am I going to say?
Harry.
Obviously.
Harry.
My little lunatic.
Yeah, that was nice. I just did work. It was all right. Nothing particularly interesting. I'm looking forward to the summer when I don't have
Did you miss school. Me?
A little.
Yeah.
I didn't miss podding. I missed you, but not podding. So if we'd have chatted every day for half an hour to an hour.
Do you know what?
I didn't record. That was fine.
I didn't miss podding, but I certainly got to the point about halfway through. I was like, I'm
bored.
I'm ready to get back on it now.
To how much time you can take off.
Yeah, I think because of the way my brain is and stuff, I need to be doing shit.
Yeah. I had a few busy weeks. There was one week so there's a guy at work who's leaving at the end of the week. We spoke about him, Veach, earlier. And so we advertised his job replacement, 180 CVs for one job. Obviously, Neil would normally have dealt with it. He's off busy having a kid. In one week, I interviewed 25 people on Zoom.
It's like correspondent week, mate.
That was a fucking effort. That was an effort. And
so hang on, you've only got, what, 83 to go?
No. We picked a candidate. I'm hoping he's coming in on Friday, so I'm hoping that's it. Wrapped up, job done. But, oh, mate, there were some funny stories from those. Listen, we'll save them for another day. Someone put it in the questions for next
25
week.
People?
30 minutes, back-to-back, like, Zooms. It was more to filter down, get 25.
Do you not get to the end, though, and think, I've forgotten? Must be one you think, I forgot who they even were, basically.
Nah, I remember.
They were completely unmemorable or something.
Nah. There was one, this is a story for another day. Somebody tell me this, somebody ask it for next week. The story of the guy that his Zoom interview ended 20 minutes in when he was telling me the story about a health and safety issue where somebody passed away at work. So he was telling me this. I'll tell you the story now. He was telling me the story, right?
Please do. Is this one of them where I'm going to laugh?
Operations role. So the death of an employee is not funny, but when he was telling the story, so he was just telling me the story of how he takes health and safety very seriously. He got called into a really important incident once where somebody sadly passed away at work and he had to deal with the health and safety executive and the police and so on. And he's like, let me tell you the story. I go, cool. So he's like, look, what happened was a guy left a handbrake off a lorry and it rolled back and crushed the guy.
Jesus.
And he died. And at that exact moment where he said, and he died, his internet cut off. So he froze on Zoom. And it was 20 minutes into a half an hour interview. And I'm like, what's happened here then? I'm like, can you hear me? You're right. And 5 minutes in, a couple of minutes later, obviously, clearly his internet has died. So I went through, I told my assistant, I go, reach out to this guy, check he's all right and what happens. And I'd known that for 20 minutes he wasn't the right guy for the role. I'd interviewed other people. But I was like, what's the irony if you're telling a story about how somebody died and at that exact same second your internet goes and you're gone and he was off screen?
Maybe it was the ghost.
Who knows? James is starting ghost stories. Oh, mate. Java's asking about Glastonbury. Who was the best show? I didn't see any of it. I don't watch any of it.
Yeah, no interest. Sorry, kids.
FPL cricketer Potter seems to be the favourite to take over the England job after Southgate leaves. But would England fans actually have the patience and knowledge to deal with his tinkering?
No way.
Potter is not ready. Potter needs to do more in club football. Yeah, I feel like international football, Southgate's proved it the otherwise, but should be a job once you've done what you want to in club football.
The thing is with Potter's tactics that sometimes he gets shit wrong. Like, he's not like a god of coaching or anything. He has some very interesting ideas. He overcomplicates it sometimes, in my opinion, but he's got some great ideas. And sometimes he gets it wrong. I think it's questionable why every single season Brighton seems to go through spells where they can't win a game for 6, 7, 8 weeks or so. Why does that happen every single season? And I think, yeah, there's a few things that the majority of England fans particularly, there's a lot of people who watch England, don't watch any other football, right? Certainly top level.
Yeah, true.
So it's going to go way over their heads, mate. Tim, a lot of them.
Tim Kresner, thoughts on Newcastle's first sponsorship deal announced being a company that the Saudis have heavily invested in?
My thoughts are it's completely zero surprise.
Football is morally bankrupt.
And it links back, and the PIF fund basically do own this company, if you trace it round.
Yeah. I mean, it's no different to what we've seen with Man City. And
that said, the only thing I would add on that, to give a little bit of balance, the figure is not out of line.
Yeah.
As in, the money that it's worth is what you would expect it to be worth for Newcastle United Football Club.
If there's an independent arbitrary panel who decide that, I'm happy with that. James Java wants to know how many DMs you got in June asking when FPL will launch. But I think it was around mid-June that they said it's coming in July, didn't they? And it shut everyone up.
One.
That was the best thing they could have done.
Honestly, one.
Only one?
Yeah.
Do people know that you're not a itik in the know? Jamie wants to know, is Such going to play Gaffer this year? Oh, come on, man. Oh, there's a pointless exercise. I'll forget to do it. Is there an app for it or something?
Gaffer on it.
Is it an app or website?
It's a website, isn't it?
But is there an app as well?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's even worse.
I will be playing Jamie. And as a reminder, obviously, Luke, FPL Irons, Rob Pick be guesting 22nd of July.
Oh, lovely. To go through Gaffer.
Yeah. Well, the season starts 29th of July as well, so.
Wow. Dougal. Billy says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear for Leeds this season? I'm going to say I'm going to give them a 6 on the fear factor.
Not, wow, really?
6 or 7.
Even with them reported new signings and stuff?
Yeah, I don't know anything about them. I've never seen them play. Right.
I get that. I
just can't get excited about players I've never seen play.
No, I get that. Not, I would say, to answer your question, not as much as pre-weekend. And it looks like there's more coming for Leeds. Which we should expect anyway, right? It's going to kind of top out 100 million for Phillips and Rafinha, and that needs to be spent and reinvested and probably some more. It needs to be done sensibly, which it looks like it is, i.e. 6-7 players rather than 2 big hitters or whatever. But yeah, a little concerned. I think Bamford's obviously really important for them this year. Because if he can get 14, 15 goals, they'd stay clear of trouble.
Yeah. Jordan, could Salah be the next victim of the turn to absolute shit once you get your new big money contract? I don't see that happening. I think it's just too good.
No. And Klopp's comments of the kind of his best is still to come is kind of resonated in a lot of people's thoughts, I think, following that announcement. But it was funny because we were doing the Zoom call. I don't know if you'd already gone or...
Yeah, I would have gone.
We were doing the Zoom call and we were talking about he could go this summer and it dropped while we were still doing it. I didn't
think Liverpool's release was particularly good.
What?
The Salah stays hashtag and all that. I just thought it was a bit... All you're saying is that we could have lost him, you know, and you don't want your club to even have that kind of mentality.
Nah, right? To be fair, a lot had been made in the media and stuff, so...
Anyway...
Although it's interesting reflecting on, there wasn't any kind of Kane stays last year from Tottenham.
No, I don't. I just.
It was just a Harry Kane tweet and that was it, wasn't it?
Dan L, which Spurs signing are you most excited by, James?
Which signing am I most excited by? For me, Perisic.
Yeah, solves a problem, doesn't it? Whereas the others...
Fascinated. I'm such a fan of him as a player, but I'm also aware that I might be getting the tail end of that very good player and those best moments might have gone. So, but if we're getting the player that I know he's been, he's efficient, he's brilliant, he's hugely underrated, as I spoke about so much last summer. And I mean, in terms of filling the problem, I mean, on his best days, one of the best around as a flank player. So it's so much more offensive as a wing back, right? You look at what we were playing with last year, and I know towards the end it was kind of with Doherty and a little bit of Emerson and Sessegnon, but actually, what did they actually get in returns last year? What was it? 2 goals for Doherty, I think, if we're talking at physical goals, 2 goals for Doherty, and I think I want to say 2 for Reguilón, I think, 1 for Emerson Royal, so 5, I think, from those 4 players in terms of goals. I mean, if Perisic played 38 games, I would expect him to get towards 10. I genuinely think he could, even as a wing back.
Tom.
I mean, when I say that out loud, there's not a physical way you couldn't start with him in FPL at that price.
I mean, if he got 5, I'd be happy.
I think he got 8 for Inter Milan last year, if I want to say.
Okay.
So I might be overestimating that with 10. But it kind of proves the point,
isn't
it?
6 or 7 is fine. 8.
Fucking hell.
Tom, FPL face-off. If you could travel back in time to start a last season, would you remember enough results to win FPL?
Oh, yeah, all day long.
How many seasons would you have to go back in time to no longer remember enough results to win FPL?
I probably before we started the pod and since the pod, because then it's in relation to FPL as well. So
5 or 6 years
before Salah joined Liverpool, that was the first season, wasn't it? It was Salah's first season. So before then, but it depends. To be honest, if I could see the fixtures on even on paper without knowing the results, if I see them together, I'd know nearly every result from every season.
We have a question coming in from Danielle. Great to see the under-19s win the Euros. Who do you think will make it big from that team? Let me just read out Harry G's question at the same time. Did James watch the under-19 Euros? As a Sunderland fan, I watched Callum Doyle closely playing as a left-back when his usual position is centre-back. I found the fluidity of the team great to watch. Three centre-backs to a back four in possession. Who else did James see from the game doing well?
I didn't like the fluidity, actually. No, I didn't like it. I didn't see that progression of system change. I didn't watch the group stage games, and I was under the impression England playing back four. And you know what it is for me? I'm 3 seconds into the game, England playing a back three against Italy. Okay, not expecting this. Harvey Vale, all the comparisons I'd heard, similar to Mason Mount in player. Cool. Playing left wing back. Very uncomfortable. In the final against Israel, as soon as he moved from left wing back, Alfie Devine went off. He had a very quiet final. Harvey Vale went to the right-sided forward. Fucking hell, he was outstanding. As soon as he changed position, why have you restricted this kid? This kid is obviously a super talent. Playing left wing back, you asked him to try and hit the byline, and like, this isn't his game. And I was only from bits I knew of him, just watching him, it's uncomfortable. The boy who played right wing back for Arsenal, who's been on loan at Lincoln, Norton Cuffey, I'd heard a lot about him as well. What a unit. Wow. Animal of a player. So it's like twice the size of anybody else in the England player.
Another right back.
Can't kick a fucking ball though.
Oh, really?
Hey, it was so bad. So bad. So the balance of the wing backs was really bad. So Doyle, I found it was more centre back really than left back. I didn't find that there was a... If the intention was to push it so that the right wing back was going into right back or vice versa, it wasn't obvious to me, to be honest. I found the formation quite static. In terms of the individuals in the squad... I've obviously spoken about the Tottenham boys and we'll come back to them, but not the standouts. I think literally what I saw of Vale when he actually moved inside, I go, wow, actually, this is what the fuss is about. Carney Chukwuemeka by miles. He's got the potential to be a star. All I'd say is there are bits in his game that remind me of Ruben Loftus-Cheek in that it's all there. He's got everything, like the physicality, everything's a Loftus-Cheek, the way he runs with the ball, I can see it. And I'd probably say in terms of a comparison, in terms of when I first saw Loftus-Cheek, I'd say it's a lot better than what I've seen so far from Chukwuemeka. This kid, he senses moments and he goes and takes it, but he always just gives that opinion. I've always got that opinion, you can go and win this game on your own, is how I feel about him a lot. And I'd be the only concern about him, but he's the one. He's the outstanding player in that age group by miles. And to be honest, although they won it, I don't think it's an outstanding age group, actually.
Gary Mantle met a River Plate fan the other day. What's the most exotic exotic fan you've ever met?
I tell you, a brilliant one. Literally, this Saturday just gone. So we took Harry to, you know, Priory Park?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I say these things, like half the listeners haven't got a clue. So it's near where my mum and dad live. So there's steam fair there at the weekend. To Harry to steam fair.
I saw you on a little ride.
Shout out to Nikki, by the way. I hope your stag do's well and stuff. I recorded a video for Nikki because I hadn't spoke to you. I wishing him well. I told him not to fucking do it, basically, and stuff. He said, thanks for the video. I said, how's the head? He said, I'm dressed as a stripper at the moment. It was like 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. My. Anyway, hi, Nikki. So me and Dad stopped off to get some chips on the way back. So my mum, the missus, and Harry had walked off. So I'm walking back with my dad. And he goes, oh, yeah, this lad walking down the street, lovely fella, right? Boca Juniors fan. Okay, cool. So you know what my dad's like. If you've met my dad, he has to stop and fucking talk. I'm not really that interested. So he stops and he goes, and the guy goes, oh, hello, Mr. Tottenham. This is what he calls my dad. Hello, Mr. Tottenham. Ah, you got Richarlison. So I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool. Let's talk. And he looks at me and he goes, son is going Real Madrid. I'm like, hey, what are you talking about, mate? Shut up. But yeah, so Boca Juniors. Is that exotic or?
Yeah, it's exotic.
Yeah, fine.
It's exotic.
But I didn't like him. He pissed me off straight away.
Excuse me. Matt Seward. He's got an FPL question. I'm going to answer.
Go.
Any defender spots too valuable? Are defender spots too valuable to consider 4.0 defenders, especially when there's a significant number of 4.5s? We don't know who's priced at 4.0s. It's impossible to answer
that. There is one that's been released, James Tompkins. So we know that there's going to be...
At Palace.
Yeah, we know there's going to be...
He's not going to play, is he? If Gay and...
Well, I think they've slipped it into...
Gay's gone back, is he?
No, Palace's player.
Yeah, so
to be honest, I haven't even seen Palace's price. I just happened to see someone.
I know Zaha's seven. I saw
James
that.
Tompkins at four. I thought it would have been quite cheeky to put Zaha in cheaper, just because we'll talk about it tomorrow. Palace's fixture run is brutal to start with, which might be part why Tompkins is four. Not that he's going to start often, but I don't think we can answer the question until we know that there's factually going to be 4.5 million forwards or 4.5 million midfielders. Because if there's not, that's a changer where you could look at it and go, yeah, okay, I want to have five at the back. But if you go three at the back and you're spending 4 million, 4 million, 5 million, well, let's say 4 million. So what's that? 18 million on the bench, potentially. Whereas if you go five at the back, potentially looking at that straight away, having to be a million more on the bench. You know what? When it comes to it, that will start playing on people's minds, because then physically you've got £1 million less in your actual team.
Oh, so not interested.
I got the impression, yeah. But I thought I'd give it a good answer.
No, as in, it's not because I don't care. I just want it, like, I'd rather have all the information before I start getting excited than half the information.
Well, that's it, yeah.
And yeah, by the end of this week, like, I don't know if you agree, I don't think it's going to take me long to put a draft together.
I don't think it's going to take anyone long.
Yeah.
I think there's... there's more, it looks like, I think there's some clever, we talked about it on Wednesday particularly, I've done some very clever thing with the pricing. But I still think, come to it, we'll still end up with quite similar at the start.
Yeah, agreed.
Can people hold their nerve with that back five? I'm not saying I'm going to do it, because it might just make sense to go Perisic, James, Cancelo, Trent, 4.0, for example. So let's see, once it's all out in the wash.
Indeed. Listeners, sorry, not even listeners, patrons, thank you for your questions. Back at you tomorrow. But look after yourselves. Have a lovely evening. Ciao.
Thanks, patrons. Love you all. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.